God, the compassionate, the merciful. Praise be to the Lord of two worlds, and peace be upon the Master of prophets and messengers and his pure family and his companions. The arrival of the Hajj season must be regarded as a great festivity for the Islamic Ummah. The special opportunity these precious days provide every year for the world's Muslim is an elixir, which can remedy most of the problems and vulnerabilities of the Muslim world if its values is understood and exploited in a proper way. Hajj is the bubbling spring of God's benevolence. Every one of you fortunate pilgrims has got the great chance to truly cleanse your heart and soul through these rites, which are full of serenity and spirituality, and to take with you a good ration of this great source of mercy, honor, and power for the rest of your life. In this divine arena of learning and nurturance, you can fill yourself with humility before and submission to the merciful God, commitment to the duties assigned to all Muslims, elation and activity with regards to the affairs of this world and the other, forgiveness and mercy upon other Muslims, courage and self-esteem in the face of hardships, hope in God's assistance and His support in everything and everywhere, and in short, humane efforts and endurance like a Muslim would do. And take back your purified self, enriched by these beauties and blessed by such reserve, as a souvenir to your country, your nation, and eventually to the Islamic Ummah. Today, more than anything else, the Islamic Ummah needs people who can blend thought and action with faith, purity, and piety, and can, along with spiritual self-development, set up resistance against the ruthless enemies. This is the only way to save the great Islamic society from the old predicaments caused either by the enemies or by weak determination, faith, and insight. Undoubtedly, now it's time for the Muslims to awaken and find their identity. It's a fact that can be clearly understood by observing the challenges facing Muslim nations. It's exactly in these conditions that determination based on faith, trust in God, insight, and acumen can help Muslim nations overcome these challenges and determine their fate with honor and pride. The opposite front, who cannot tolerate the awakening and dignity of Muslims, has come on the scene with a vengeance and is using all its security, psychological, military, economic, and propaganda means in order to inhibit the Muslims and suppress them and to make them preoccupied with themselves. A look at the West Asian countries, from Pakistan and Afghanistan to Syria, Iraq and Palestine, the Persian Gulf Arab states, and also the North African countries from Libya, Egypt, and Tunisia to Sudan and other countries, reveals many truths. Civil wars, blind religious and sectarian fanaticism, political instabilities, the spread of brutal terrorism, the emergence of extremist groups and currents, which like savage tribes in history slice open people's chests and cut out their hearts, armed gangs who kill children and women, behead men and rape women, and they even sometimes do these disgusting, outrageous crimes in the name of religion. All of these are the result of evil and hegemonic plots by the foreign intelligence services and their regional allies, which take effect when the internal situation of the countries make them vulnerable to such plots and bring calamity and malady to their nations. Of course, in such circumstances, one cannot expect that the Muslim nations remedy all their material and spiritual shortcomings and achieve security, welfare, scientific progress, and global influence, which are the result of awakening and self-identification. This disastrous situation can abort Islamic awakening and undermine the mental agility in the Islamic world, and once again force the Muslim nations into a long period of stagnation, isolation, and decline, and cause their basic and important issues to sink into oblivion, including the liberation of Palestine and other Muslim nations from the interventions of the United States and the Zionist regime. The fundamental solution to this can be summed up in two key phrases, which are among the most significant lessons of the Hajj. First, Muslim unity and fraternity under the flag of monotheism. Second, knowing the enemy and confronting its plots and strategies. A great lesson of the Hajj is to improve the spirit of brotherhood and empathy. Here, even arguing with and offending others is forbidden. Wearing uniform clothing, performing identical rites, making the same moves, and behaving in a kind manner all mean equality and fraternity among those who believe in and are devoted to monotheism. This is Islam's clear message to any ideology and belief that regards a certain group of Muslims and believers in Kaaba and monotheism out of the circle of Islam. The Takfiri elements who are today being manipulated by the perfidious Zionists and their Western supporters, and who commit heinous crimes and shed the blood of Muslims and innocent people, and those self-proclaimed defenders of religion, those who call themselves clerics, and those who fan the flames of Shia-Sunni strife, must know that the Hajj pilgrimage shall invalidate their claims. I, like many other Islamic scholars and sympathizers with the Islamic Ummah, reiterate that any word or action which fans the flames of discord among Muslims and any insult to the sanctities of each one of the Muslim denominations or any act of takfirism against any Islamic denominations equals serving the camp of disbelievers and polytheism and betraying Islam and is religiously unlawful. Knowing the enemy and its strategies is the second important factor. First, we should not forget about the existence of a ruthless enemy. Performing the ritual of stoning the devil during the Hajj is a symbolic sign of this awareness. Second, one should not make a mistake in identifying the real enemy, which today is the global hegemony and the criminal Zionist network. Third, we should carefully identify the strategies of this malicious enemy, which include fomenting discord among Muslims, spreading political and moral corruption, threatening and enticing the elite, imposing economic pressure on other nations, and arousing doubts about Islamic beliefs. And we should identify those who follow them, knowingly or ignorantly. The hegemonic governments and the United States as their flag bearer exploit advanced propaganda tools to conceal their true faces and deceive public opinion in other countries through claims of advocating human rights and democracy. They claim to be defending the rights of other nations, while Muslim nations more than ever before feel the flames of their seditions with their bodies and souls. The oppressed nation of Palestine has been suffering for decades from the crimes of the Zionist regime and its supporters. In Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq, people have plunged into misery because of terrorism, which originates from the policies of the global arrogance and its regional allies. Syria has been ruthlessly targeted by arrogant powers and their regional allies and is plagued by a bloody civil war because of its support for the resistance front against the Zionist regime. In Bahrain and Myanmar, Muslims have been neglected while their enemies are being supported. Other nations are frequently threatened by the US and its allies with military strike or economic sanctions or acts of sabotage. A look at all these countries can reveal to all people throughout the world the true face of the leaders of global arrogance. All across the Islamic world, the political, cultural, and religious personalities must feel obliged to reveal these facts. This is the moral and religious responsibility of all of us. North African states, which are unfortunately affected by deep internal divisions in present times, should pay attention to this responsibility and more than other countries. They should pay more attention to the issue of knowing the enemy and its strategies and plots. The continuation of these
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. resistance front against the Zionist regime. In Bahrain and Myanmar, Muslims have been neglected while their enemies are being supported. Other nations are frequently threatened by the U.S. and its allies with military strike or economic sanctions or acts of sabotage. A look at all these countries can reveal to all people throughout the world the true face of the leaders of global arrogance. All across the Islamic world, the political, cultural, and religious personalities must feel...
Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd.
محمد وآل محمد صل على محمد وآل محمد.
سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر.
سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الله أكبر. واستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله
سبحان الله سبحان الله محمد وآل محمد.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله
سبحان الله سبحان الله
الله أكبر. واستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر.
سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان ربي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
Opportunities. I pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us opportunity and that piety and sincerity in our hearts that we can complete our tests and trials, whatever we are being appointed for. Everyone has his own trials. And let us think what it is. And we need to act according to that. And we need to say same as Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. We need to strengthen our powers that I will be patient. What Allah has ordained for me. I pray may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us chance that we can see son of Prophet, son of Hazrat Zahra, Imam Zaman, Ajrallahu Farajahu Sharif. Leading the world at a time when we will see the real sacrifice if we can pay sacrifice for Imam of the Age, as today is day of Eid Qurban, and giving sacrifice, brothers and sisters, the most important thing that is required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is not animals, flesh and blood, but what is required by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bal yanaluhu taqwa. Allah would like to see sincerity and piety in our hearts, and that is
with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this group is completely isolated today. Muslims with their completion of Hajj, standing together, performing all the rituals, have shown that we can stand together and we are united, and agendas of imperialists are being failed today. Today, imperialists must be ashamed that all their plans with the strategy of the leader. Brothers and sisters, we need to be thankful for the leader today, that with his strategy, with his plans, all the imperialists and the most important powers are being failed. They wanted to have war on Muslim Ummah. They had been prepared, but with the plan of leader, with the strategy of the leader, they have become today unsuccessful. They are defeated. They are broken within themselves. This is the situation that we can see. And brothers and sisters, we are really lucky to see a time when Islam is becoming successful. We are heading towards an era that is era of Islam. We are going to head towards a century that is going to be century of Islam. And that is because of a leadership that is representing Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Amirul Mu'mineen became successful in many wars in his time. He became successful in knowledge and wisdom. And his representative also is being successful today in many Khaybar, many Khandaq. Today there are battles, but these battles are unseen. And he has been successful. We have to recognize his effort, that how he established unity between Muslim Ummah. Although there were blocks that they wanted to break us, they wanted to have street fight within the Muslim Ummah. And they have not been successful. Today, Saudi Arabia is being isolated. All those who wanted to have this plan to be successful, they are isolated. Syria is still, alhamdulillah, an established country. And we hope that, inshallah, with this leadership, and if we recognize the leadership, if we support the leadership, in the future we will see victory of Muslim Ummah. And after Dhul Hijjah, we are heading towards the month of Muharram. I would again like to request community youth the greatest regard and pay attention to the most important message of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Rather than just looking at some of the rituals and being just traditional, it is important that we have to come out of this traditional life, but we have to focus on the secret of the month of Muharram, that month of sacrifice, a month of jihad against the enemies of Islam, a month that needs us, that we need to have revolution within our communities. And let us, during this month, if we can practice those points that I have requested, those points that we can point out, we should not let anybody who can break the unity within the Shia and who can break unity within Muslim Ummah. Let us not go and be mediated in disunity. It is important that we need to think that if anybody, in any form, with any dress, even if he is sovereign, he has a mama on his head, and if he is trying to create disunity, let him not do that. Stop him and ask him, this is fatwa of our Maharaja. Brothers and sisters, in today's world, we are lucky that two great Maharaja both have given the same fatwa. They said that at this time, creating disunity is the most important haram in this world. So let us, those who just want to play with our desires, those who just like to play with our gatherings, let that kill it. It is haram. So let us think what we do, who we represent. If our member represents these institutions are asking us not to do that. It is haram. But we represent our desire. If anybody follows the desire, let him ask to stop. This member cannot be used for the disunity within the Muslim Ummah. I pray that we see a time when Muslim Ummah is standing with our infallible Imam, with the unity, and support Imam Zaman Ajallahu Fardahu Sharif. Allahumma aghfir lana warhamna wa'afina wa'fu 'anna fid dunya wal akhirah innaka 'ala kulli shay'in qadir. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal 'asr innal insana fi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. Wassalamu 'alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. السلام عليك يا ابن خديجة الكبرى، السلام عليك يا قام الله وابن طارق والفطر الموجود، أشهد أنك قد أقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وأطعت الله رسوله حتى أتاك اليقين، فلعن الله أمة قتلتك ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرم يدهم together. Ya Mawlai, Ya Aba Abdullah, أشهد أنك كنت ممثل أصحاب الشنطة وأرحام المطهرة لم تنجزك الجاهلية من جاهلها ولم تنجزك المتهمات ديارها وأشهد أنك من دعاء الدين وأركان المؤمنين وأشهد أنك إمام المتقي القوي الزكي الهادي المهدي وأشهد أن الأئمة من قبلك أئمة الهدى وكلمة التقوى
the compassionate, the merciful. Praise be to the Lord of two worlds and peace be upon the Master of Prophets and Messengers and his pure family and his companions. The arrival of the Hajj season must be regarded as a great festivity for the Islamic Ummah. The special opportunity these precious days provide every year for the world's Muslim is an elixir, which can remedy most of the problems and vulnerabilities of the Muslim world if its values is understood and exploited in a proper way. Hajj is the bubbling spring of God's benevolence. Every one of you fortunate pilgrims has got the great chance to truly cleanse your heart and soul through these rites, which are full of serenity and spirituality, and to take with you a good ration of this great source of mercy, honor, and power for the rest of your life. In this divine arena of learning and nurturance, you can fill yourself with humility before and submission to the merciful God, commitment to the duties assigned to all Muslims, elation and activity with regards to the affairs of this world and the other, forgiveness and mercy upon other Muslims, courage and self-esteem in the face of hardships, hope in God's assistance and His support in everything and everywhere, and, in short, humane efforts and endurance like a Muslim would do. And take back your purified self, enriched by these beauties and blessed by such reserve as a souvenir to your country, your nation, and eventually to the Islamic Ummah. Today, more than anything else, the Islamic Ummah needs people who can blend thought and action with faith, purity, and piety, and can, along with spiritual self-development, set up resistance against the ruthless enemies. This is the only way to save the great Islamic society from the old predicaments caused either by the enemies or by weak determination, faith, and insight. Undoubtedly, now it's time for the Muslims to awaken and find their identity. It's a fact that can be clearly understood by observing the challenges facing Muslim nations. It's exactly in these conditions that determination based on faith, trust in God, insight, and acumen can help Muslim nations overcome these challenges and determine their fate with honor and pride. The opposite front, who cannot tolerate the awakening and dignity of Muslims, has come on the scene with a vengeance and is using all its security, psychological, military, economic, and propaganda means in order to inhibit the Muslims and suppress them and to make them preoccupied with themselves. A look at the West Asian countries, from Pakistan and Afghanistan to Syria, Iraq and Palestine, the Persian Gulf Arab states, and also the North African countries from Libya, Egypt, and Tunisia to Sudan and other countries, reveals many truths. Civil wars, blind religious and sectarian fanaticism, political instability, the spread of brutal terrorism, the emergence of extremist groups and currents, which like savage tribes in history slice open people's chests and cut out their hearts, armed gangs who kill children and women, behead men and rape women, and they even sometimes do these disgusting, outrageous crimes in the name of religion. All of these are the result of evil and hegemonic plots by the foreign intelligence services and their regional allies, which take effect when the internal situation of the countries make them vulnerable to such plots and bring calamity and malady to their nations. Of course, in such circumstances, one cannot expect that the Muslim nations remedy all their material and spiritual shortcomings and achieve security, welfare, scientific progress, and global influence, which are the result of awakening and self-identification. This disastrous situation can abort Islamic awakening and undermine the mental agility in the Islamic world, and once again, force the Muslim nations into a long period of stagnation, isolation, and decline, and cause their basic and important issues to sink into oblivion, including the liberation of Palestine and other Muslim nations from the interventions of the United States and the Zionist regime. The fundamental solution to this can be summed up in two key phrases, which are among the most significant lessons of the Hajj. First, Muslim unity and fraternity under the flag of monotheism. Second, knowing the enemy and confronting its plots and strategies. A great lesson of the Hajj is to improve the spirit of brotherhood and empathy. Here, even arguing with and offending others is forbidden. Wearing uniform clothing, performing identical rites, making the same moves, and behaving in a kind manner all mean equality and fraternity among those who believe in and are devoted to monotheism. This is Islam's clear message to any ideology and belief that regards a certain group of Muslims and believers in Kaaba and monotheism out of the circle of Islam. The Takfiri elements who are today being manipulated by the perfidious Zionists and their Western supporters, and who commit heinous crimes and shed the blood of Muslims and innocent people, and those self-proclaimed defenders of religion, those who call themselves clerics, and those who fan the flames of Shia-Sunni strife, must know that the Hajj pilgrimage shall invalidate their claims. I, like many other Islamic scholars and sympathizers with the Islamic Ummah, reiterate that any word or action which fans the flames of discord among Muslims and any insult to the sanctities of each one of the Muslim denominations or any act of takfirism against any Islamic denominations equals serving the camp of disbelievers and polytheism and betraying Islam and is religiously unlawful. Knowing the enemy and its strategies is the second important factor. First, we should not forget about the existence of a ruthless enemy. Performing the ritual of stoning the devil during the Hajj is a symbolic sign of this awareness. Second, one should not make a mistake in identifying the real enemy, which today is the global hegemony and the criminal Zionist network. Third, we should carefully identify the strategies of this malicious enemy, which include fomenting discord among Muslims, spreading political and moral corruption, threatening and enticing the elite, imposing economic pressure on other nations, and arousing doubts about Islamic beliefs. And we should identify those who follow them, knowingly or ignorantly. The hegemonic government and the United States as their flag bearer exploit advanced propaganda tools to conceal their true faces and deceive public opinion in other countries through claims of advocating human rights and democracy. They claim to be defending the rights of other nations, while Muslim nations more than ever before feel the flames of their seditions with their bodies and souls. The oppressed nation of Palestine has been suffering for decades from the crimes of the Zionist regime and its supporters. In Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq, people have plunged into misery because of terrorism, which originates from the policies of the global arrogance and its regional allies. Syria has been ruthlessly targeted by arrogant powers and their regional allies and is plagued by a bloody civil war because of its support for the resistance front against the Zionist regime. In Bahrain and Myanmar, Muslims have been neglected while their enemies are being supported. Other nations are frequently threatened by the U.S. and its allies with military strike or economic sanctions or acts of sabotage. A look at all these countries can reveal to all people throughout the world the true face of the leaders of global arrogance. All across the Islamic world, the political, cultural, and religious personalities must feel obliged to reveal these facts. This is the moral and religious responsibility of all of us. North African states, which are unfortunately affected by deep internal divisions in present times, should pay attention to this responsibility and more than other countries. They should pay more attention to the issue of knowing the enemy and its strategies and plots. The continuation of these conflicts among nationalist orientations and Muslims' negligence about the threat of domestic wars in these countries is a great danger, the losses from which cannot be compensated anytime soon. We, of course, have no doubts that nations who have stood up against global arrogance and who have realized Islamic awakening will not, by Allah's favor, allow the clock to be turned back and the era of corrupt, dependent rulers and dictators to repeat itself. However, failing to heed the role of hegemonic powers in creating discord and launching destructive interventions will create a difficult situation for them and will cause a very long delay in achieving an era of dignity, security, and welfare. We believe from the bottom of our hearts in the capability of the nations and in the power, determination, faith, and foresight which God has offered to the masses of people. And for more than three decades, we have witnessed this in the Islamic Republic of Iran and have experienced it with our hearts and souls. Our determination is an invitation to all Muslim nations to this experience of their brothers in this dignified and indefatigable country. I ask Allah the Exalted to bestow peace on Muslims and to foil the enemy's plots. I ask Him to accept your Hajj pilgrimage and to bestow physical and spiritual health on you. I ask Him to grant you, pilgrims of the Holy House of God, abundant spiritual blessings. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy. Sayyid Ali Khamenei, 9th of Zilhajjah, 1434 on the lunar calendar, 14th of October, 2013. The arrival of the Hajj season must be regarded as a great festivity for the Islamic Ummah.